So we're learning this Hasidic discourse by the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe. The year is 1930. Yeah. And the discourse is talking about the unity of God. And the Rebbe asked a few questions. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I prefer to move on. But the main point is over here that the Talmud says that the Shema Israel, that this prayer actually is related to Kavanas Aleif, the intention of the heart, what you feel in your heart and you should feel, etc., etc. However, the simple explanation of what the verse is talking about is Kavanas Amoyach. It's what you're thinking about, that God is one and the whole universe is together with Him, and etc., etc. So why do we have these two ideas? And what does the Talmud say that actually this is all also about, this is only about Kavanas Aleif? You should feel this, not so much think this. And the Rebbe went on to explain that a day is composed of two components, basically light and darkness. Or actually the order should be darkness and then light. In the beginning there's darkness, and afterwards there's light. Okay, let's go. The example of all of this we're going to understand when we talk about a spiritual thing. These two names, Shem Elohim, that represents nature, we spoke about this, that the sun and the covering of the sun, etc. These two names, Elohim and Avaye, the Be'emes, I'm sorry, Avaye represents infinity and Elohim represents nature. The truth is that the creation comes from this name, Havaye, that represents infinity, creation, was, is, and will be. The Shem Havaye, Hu HaMehaveh. Actually, the word Havaye, which actually doesn't mean anything, just represents the name of God, represents the idea of creation, Havia, which means actually creation. Kemo shekotov, ki hu tziva v'nivro, as it's written, because He mandated and the world was created. The holy savos de olam osen ivraim mishem avaye, all creation of the spiritual worlds and all the creations in this physical world, etc., everything comes from this name of four letters, yud, hey, avav, and hey. However, if the creation would have been in practicality just from this name, then the creation wouldn't have been a physical existence just as it is right now. We wouldn't understand it or see it as a physical thing. Rather, all the existence of the universe created by this name of God would be completely annulled, absolutely. In complete nullification, like the nullification of the ray of a sun within the sun itself. This is referencing the second part of Tanya, Shar HaYichud HaEmunah. It's not going to go into the whole detail, but he's referring to that. And divinity would not be filled in the creations and recognized and understood as we actually recognize it and understand it right now. It would be impossible because everything would be godliness, just godliness. So it's not I understanding godliness. Forget it, it's just godliness. So I'm not here. I don't even exist. And it's written, Amechadesh v'tuva v'chol yom tomid ma'isev reishis. God renews with His kindness every single day the whole creation. This fact that the whole creation is renewed constantly, this comes from His kindness. Because the nature of somebody or something good is to do good to somebody else, to others, so to speak. The truth is that he's mixing so many ideas that we could talk long just about these ideas. But the main simple idea that he's bringing, even though it's not so simple, but the main idea that he's bringing is, look, God created everything because He's good. How do you know, like, philosophically that he is good because he creates everything. And the nature, I mean, the question was wrong. How do you know he created the world because he is good? That's the question. Not why is he good. He is good. But the question is, how do you know that the whole creation depends on his kindness? Because the nature of somebody kind is not just to be kind for yourself. That's egoistic, to be kind to somebody else. So since God is good and is kind, so he creates to be good and kind with his creation. This is a classical philosophical idea of why God created the whole world. And it's also mentioned in Kabbalah, the same idea. So again, God renews the whole creation constantly. The creation is done by the combination of these two names. He didn't say it so clearly yet. He's going to do it, but he's like building the idea. So again, if the creation would have been only from the infinite name of God, that means the name of God that expresses infinity, creation wouldn't be creation. It would be impossible to grasp him, to understand him. We would not feel ourselves. We would not feel God at all, etc. So the creation is done and renewed constantly from the kindness of God. What does it mean, the kindness of God? He gives us room to exist. He allows us to exist. That's kindness. But in order for us to exist, he has to hide himself, because otherwise we can't exist. It's like if you have a great, great, amazing teacher on whatever thing it is, and you have other smaller teachers, so to speak. As soon as the great teacher comes into the room, into the place where the students are over there, everybody shuts up. No other teacher is going to say, no, I have something to teach. Forget it. In front of this guy, you don't teach. You shut up and you listen and you learn how to teach. Okay, so the same thing happens with God. If he will be revealed, that doesn't leave us room to exist. So he has to hide himself so we can exist. So you have here a very interesting combination. His kindness, that usually kindness means to reveal, to give, to be available, etc. What's his kindness? Concealment. He conceals himself to be kind with us. He gives us room to exist, and then he's kind with us when we exist. Why did he do all these things? Why is he combining these two names and kindness, etc., etc.? Kinisav, Akadosh Baruch Hu Lios Leiv Balak, Dira Betach Toinim. Because God had a will, has a will, whatever, to have a dwelling place in this lower world. Livrev Lehavois Oilam Gashmi. He wants to create a physical world, Sheyenire LeYeshu Metzius, that it should see itself, the world and the creations within the world, as an existent thing. I exist. Ubeolam ze, and in this world that feels itself as a concrete existence, livre yesa adam, create the man, baal guf gashmi, with a physical body, ulehoirid neshama elekis, and bring down a godly soul, veliten lakoyach veoizlis gaber al humbrius aguf, and give this soul power to overcome the physical body, and to conquer all the passions that this body actually has. How? Through the strength, the power of Torah, and the work of the heart through prayer. This is the mission statement. I want a world, says God. I want a world. I want to put over there people, and I want them to work. And I want them to know me. That's the kindness that he has to create us, just to know him. The Torah was given down here in this physical earth, physical world, whatever. The Kashira Malachim, Bikshus HaTorah, when the angels actually asked for the Torah, when God was about to give the Torah, the Midrash, the Talmud says that the angels complained to God. As it's written, leave your glory in heavens. Why are you giving Torah to these physical people? Forget it. Hishiv lahem Moshe. And there's a whole story. The Rebbe is not quoting the whole story, but Moshe answered the angels, klum yetzer hara yesh bachem. Do you have bad inclinations? Do you have passions? Forget it. And the story goes like, do you have father and mother? You can't respect your father and mother. Forget it. You're not born. You're angels. So it's a whole story over there in the Talmud. The point is that the Torah is for us. We have father and mother. We could steal, so the Torah says don't steal. We could kill, so the Torah says don't kill. The angels don't even think about this. And the Torah was given specifically for people with a physical body. That we have a bad inclination. The bad inclination seduces a person and deviates the person with all kinds of ideas. And armumius is like when one person wants to cheat, so to speak, the other person, and gives ideas and gives to seduce you and to deviate you from the righteous path. Now, through learning the Torah and fulfilling the commandments, the luminary of the Torah is also paraphrasing a Talmud statement. The luminary of Torah can bring you back to the right path. So that's what he's quoting right now. The luminary of the Torah illuminates for a person in the path of life. Bechaye oilam, in the world, in the life, in this world, kemaymar chaye oilam, not abezechinen, as we say when we actually pray before learning the Torah, that God gave us eternal life, He planted within us. That's the Torah. That through learning and fulfilling, etc., we have like eternal life. And we have, in this particular maymar, the concept of eternal life is we have a guide in life. We know where to go, what to do. That means through that a person actually does in a physical world the fulfillment of the concrete commandments, you're actually fulfilling the whole supreme intention of God of willing to have a dwelling place in this world. We're actually by actually doing physical things like Jews putting on tefillin and giving tzedakah, non-Jews also giving tzedakah, etc. Those are like physical things. You take money and you put it in a pushka, whatever the name is, the place where you put the money, and you give it to a poor person, etc., etc. That's the way we're actually revealing God in this world and fulfilling His intention by why He created the world. Now he's going to go back to the previous chapter. That's what it means. That the sun and its shield, those are like the two names, Havaye, infinite expression of God, and Elohim, this finite, so to speak, nature expression of God. Just like the sun, through the shield of the sun, it can be accepted in the world and the creations we can actually enjoy. That's what it says now. We can enjoy its light. That's referring to the essence of the luminary of the sun, which is very powerful, extremely powerful. Go stand up a few kilometers by the sun and you'll get burned. It's very powerful. However, because it has a shield, you can translate this in many ways, the distance, the atmosphere, whatever the case is, there's a shield over there. We can enjoy that instead of getting burned. The same thing happens with these two names, Shem Elohim and Shem Havai. The Aisavosum Shem Havai. Creation itself is from the godly world, godly name, I'm sorry, Havai. Rak Shaisavos Bepoyalu Alidei Shem Elohim. But the creation in practicality, the creation itself comes from Shem Elohim, from this shield, so to speak. What for? In order that the person, through his work, internal work of mitzvahs, etc., should project a revelation of this infinite name of God in this physical land, in this physical world. So, God, of course, he can do anything he wants. That's for sure. But what does he want? Our sages tell us. He wants a physical world and a physical man. Man, woman is the same. And that they, through their work, they should reveal God. He could have created a world where he is revealed. Of course, he can do anything. But this is the way he wanted. וזהו בראש החשיכה, and that's what it means, at the beginning there was darkness, שהיא עבודה בהטבע, that means the work in the nature, within the nature, לעשות הטבע כלילה למעלה מהטבע, to make of the nature a vessel to receive light, so to speak, that is actually beyond the nature, שהוא עניין והדנאי, that's what it means, afterwards there was light. In other words, God wants a world that conceals him, we don't see him, and he wants us as partners to, within the world, reveal his presence. Not that the world should be annulled. No, 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 that's not what he wants. Otherwise, he wouldn't create this physical world. No, he wants a physical world, physical people with all kinds of challenges and difficulties, etc., etc., and we, through our efforts, should reveal him. But when we reveal him, which actually this is what it means, Mashiach, doesn't mean that the world is going to disappear as we know it. No, the world is going to continue being a physical world. However, God is going to be revealed. It's a paradox. Yeah, you're right. Of course, definitely. It doesn't make any sense. Because as soon as God reveals himself, the world stops being. And he conceals himself, the world exists. How can it be both things at the same time? That's through our work. That's actually what we do. We refine the world to make it a dwelling place for God. Now, behine. Achdu saboir isbarach, unire venikar bechol anivraim. The unity of God, the Creator, it can be seen and recognized in all the creations. Behainu, that means, kasher ha'adam misbainim beha'oilam ve'anivraim. When a person meditates in the world and in the creations, and this doesn't mean like going to a mountain and just saying, No. Be conscious of a world around you. Lots of stones, lots of plants, lots of animals, lots of human beings with all kinds of shapes and colors and weight. Just think about the world itself. When you really think about it, you will see the light and the chayus is like the strength, the life force, divine life force of God, so to speak, in the world. Why? You will see, you will recognize that this godly life force is actually what's creating and giving life to the whole world and the whole creations. How does it work? How can you be conscious of God by looking at the world? Why? What's the connection? So he explains like this. The Hine. It's written, Vivesaria Hazeleka Ioif, he said, from my flesh I will perceive godliness. What does that mean? This is the classical explanation of what follows that Hasidus gives on this verse in Ioif, in Job. Just as a person knows and feels in himself that the main thing in his life is the light and the life force of the soul. And through working on yourself, you can feel that this life force is actually divine. You see, it's two levels. It's not easy. It's two levels. Level number one is you see a dead body and you see a life body. What's the difference? The soul. That's the only difference. This person lost the soul for whatever reason, and this person still has the soul inside of the body. But the body itself is exactly the same, to the point that you can look at certain parts of the body and you don't even realize whether a person is alive or dead. You don't know. You look at the face and you clearly see this guy is alive, this guy is dead. But you look at all the parts, the ankle, whatever, you can't see whether the person is alive or not. The only difference is the soul. So if a person, a regular, normal person knows that the main thing in life is not the body, it's the soul. It's the soul. And again, the parenthesis over here says, through a lot of work on yourself, you can feel that this life force is actually divine. Look at the words are very careful. Let's go back just one line. It says, "Ksiv mivesaria hazeleka," like the fourth line from the beginning. "Mivesaria hazeleka, from my flesh I will perceive God." Kemo isha adam yoidea umargish. In this line it says, just as a person knows and feels, like two ideas, knows and feels, that your soul is the main thing. And then he goes in the parentheses, "Vealidea voida umargish." Through a lot of work, you can feel. Do you really know? I don't know. But you can feel. You can feel that your life force is godliness. But that requires a lot of work on yourself. The haguf be'atzmoy ein davar klal. The body in itself is not something important at all. Ve'araya, what's the proof? The betzeis ha'nefesh maguf. Hagam sheyeshnam kol ha'ivarim b'shleimus. When the soul leaves the body, even though all the members of the body are complete, however, the eye doesn't see, the mouth can't talk, he's dead. But it's not that he doesn't have eyes, he has eyes, but the soul is not there. This means, clearly proves, that the main thing in life is the life force, spirituality, and not the physical body. Just as is in the person, in a mizeyav, in gamba oilam, sheikarua oir veachayus elokia mechayus haoilim vanivraim, and just as it is in a human being, the same thing you can understand. Yovin, you can understand it in the whole world. See, he constantly changes. Understand, feel. Now you can understand. You look at the person, you meditate on how a person works, and now you can understand how the world works. That the main thing in the world, Shahikar wa'oir, the main thing is the light and the life force, divine life force that gives life to the whole world and the whole creation. That's the main thing. Not the creation, like a physical expression of a creation, rather the life force inside of it, which is God, divine. As it says in the Midrash, always the Rabbi Nathan is one of the Midrashim, very ancient Midrashim. The ha'adam u'oilam koton, v'ha'oilam u'guv gadol. It says over there that the man is like a small world, and the world is like a big body for God, being the soul of the whole world. Just as in the small world, man, the main thing is the light and life force. In the kemokenubag of God, the same thing happens with the big body, which is the world. This is what it means that God is one. What does that mean? The achdus aboiris barach hu nikar venire bemuchash bechol hanivraim. The unity of God is recognizable. You can see it clearly with your senses within all the creations. As it's written longly in other places about this thing. It doesn't go into the details right now. But one of the most famous places where this is written, actually, is duties of the heart. When he talks about the Shara Ichud, the first part, when he talks about how God is one, he brings quite a few proofs, like 5, 6, I don't remember exactly now, but he brings many proofs of the idea of being their creator, because things don't do themselves, don't create themselves, like physical things can create themselves, they need a creator, and God is not physical to ask the same question about God, like who created God? No, he's not physical, so these physical things need a creator. And it brings the idea of, for instance, that I remember right now, interesting, by father and mother. When you have a father and mother, when you start going up in humanity, so to speak, it all boils down to one couple. Starts from one couple. This couple has two children or whatever, more. And then they have more. It's like exponential growth. Okay, but do the same thing backwards. It's going to lead you to one person. That means that somebody created the first person, etc. He brings a few ideas. The point he wants to bring is that, as he said this before also, one of the questions he asked before is, why do we say Echod and not Yochid, one and not unique? God should be unique, not one. He's answering that idea. He's explaining that idea. When you look at the creation, where there would be a possibility of thinking of more than one God, however, we say God is one. If it would have been said, God Yochid, God is unique, it wouldn't be room for a second thought, so to speak. And that would mean that God cannot be revealed as one in this physical world. It would be like something outside of this world, outside of the way we can understand things in dualities and more, three parts, four parts, etc., etc. Since we can reach God through the world, has to say one. Even there is a possibility of multiple ideas, etc., idolatry. No, God is one within this world. This is what he actually wants, to be revealed within this world, not outside the world. He doesn't want us to be malachim, angels. He wants us to be human beings with all kinds of problems and to serve him. This is what it means when the Talmud says, he who extends the one. What does that mean? This means to extend longly, so to speak, meditation on this fact that God is one within the creation. Even though, as he explained, he asked before, this idea is a very rational thing and profound ideas in mind, not in heart, in mind, as it's written. Those who analyze God will find, with actually the verse, it's like a rhetorical question. Are you going to think about God and are you going to find something? You're not going to understand anything. That's the verse itself, which means heiker. Hakira means rationality. And now he writes in Yiddish for it to be clear. Aber in neshama asaga der hört sich do bei alle Yidden, but however, in godly understand, I'm sorry, in soul understanding, neshama is a soul, soul understanding, this is felt by every Jew. Even though it's true, there's a rational idea over here, and apparently the Talmud should have said, there has to be kavana samoyach, the understanding of the brain, however, this affects directly the heart. This is talking to the heart, it's not talking to the mind. This is what it means to extend the one. You should meditate in all the details of the creation on how the supervision of God is a very particular supervision of every single detail. That God nurtures and supports everything. Look at the world and see how God gives food to these animals, to those animals, to the plants, to the stones, to the human beings, etc., etc. By Ashgacha Pratis, particular providence. Diksiv, as it's written, Eine kol elecho yesabeiru, v'yata nois elohim sochlem be'itoy, shel maichal. This is an addition to the verse. It's written in Psalm 145, Ashrei, that's what it's called. The eyes of every creature, so to speak, the eyes of all, they look up to you. They're waiting for you. And you give them food in its time. Which time? Time of the food itself. That's not part of the verse. He's explaining the verse. That means that every creature needs to eat at its particular time, in its particular way, its particular food, etc. Kefi she'uktzav me'ashgacha elyona, just as the divine providence set up specifically for that creature. And also, Roya Adam Bemuchash the Holtach Bulaisa Beisig Masumatam and Blibli Hoil, a person can see clearly that all his machinations and ideas in business are, forget it, they're no use at all. They don't have any use at all. Like you can try to make a business grow and then think all kinds of things and it's not gonna work, and then suddenly you do it like this and things grow. Doesn't make any sense. It's not something rational. Velken, Therefore, in a kola vedas adam urag litzapos lechaz lizbarach. What's your job, so to speak? Your job is to wait for God's kindness. Dein tzarich ela lasis kli. Ubirchas Hashem izasher. You only have to make yourself a vessel for God's blessing, and God's blessing is going to make you rich. Don't worry, you're going to be fine. Of course, if you stay in your house just looking at the roof, you're not going to have anything, but you do your part, and God is going to do his part. Automatically, a person has to have time to pray in the congregation. You have to fix a time, a certain time to learn Torah. This is what it means. See, pay attention that it changes now the meaning of the verse. This is what it means that you, God, give to them, to the creatures, their food be'itoi, in its time, be'itoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the times of God. First, he explained the verse, look, the simple meaning, pshat. God gives food to every single creature when that creature needs it, and the food that creature needs. Okay, that's a nice verse, so to speak. And now he's changing, going, so to speak, deeper. He's saying God gives food to every creature when God, and the way God wants. Not the way you want. The way God wants. Relay Adam writes, not when the person wants. I want to become rich right now, just looking at the roof. Okay, forget it. It doesn't work. You're going to have to work. And God is going to decide when and how. Uksiv, one very small detail, I didn't mention it before, actually I should have mentioned it in the beginning of the previous class, that in 1930s, the previous Rebbe made a visit to the United States. I don't remember right now if in this particular time of the year there was a visit or not. I don't remember right now. But the point is that Judaism in the United States in the 30s was a very difficult thing. Many, many people were leaving Judaism because, you know, you come to the new world and you have to behave like the new world behaves. Just cut your beard, cut your payas, take out the clothes, the yarmulke, forget it. You have to function like the new world functions. Leave the old world. Okay, so the Rebbe is coming here, so to speak, to strengthen the people, the Jews in the United States and in other places in Europe also. Like, don't think you have to leave God in order to be successful in life. No. On the contrary, only when you actually connect to him, he's going to give you your food in his time, whenever he wants. But you have to make yourself a vessel. What does it mean to make yourself a vessel? He explains, Ksif, it's written. Sheshes yamin tavoit, v'yasisa kom elachtecha. 6 days you will work, and you will do all your jobs, all your things. You have to go work, of course. The Torah is telling you, go work, 6 days. Hamnam, however, that work is nothing more than a vessel for the supreme blessing. And in order for that vessel to receive, to have that blessing, not only that you have to have a vessel that is a pure vessel, pure from what? What do I mean pure vessel? Don't steal, don't cheat, don't. Of course, if you're going to make a blessing, a vessel for the blessing, has to be according to that which is giving you the blessing, God. He doesn't want you to steal, he doesn't want you to cheat, etc., etc. Not only that, Ela Oidzeis, moreover, Shetiye Kli Parnasasik Sheirat Pia Torah. The vessel for your sustenance has to be kosher, appropriate according to the laws of Torah. Ve'azu Kli Levirchas Hashem. And then it's going to be a vessel for the blessing of God. So what did he actually add, so to speak, in this particular chapter? He's explaining God is one. What does it mean that God is one? He, as we saw in the previous chapter, he creates everything, and he wants us to actually do and function in this world, but that function has to be according to the laws that God gives you. And then he's going to give you a blessing. He's going to give you a blessing. But it depends on two, basically two ideas in this particular chapter. Idea number one is, you have to think and realize how God actually manages his world. He is the boss over here. But in order for you to understand that, to recognize that, etc., etc., you're going to have to meditate. It's boinenus. Meditate in the world, look around, understand the world, and understand that actually God and godliness is the main thing in the world, not what you think, that the money and the body, etc., etc. No, that's not the main thing. God is the main thing. And the second part is you're going to have to do something, of course. Go work, not just meditate. Stay the whole day in synagogue meditating. It's not going to work. You're going to have to go do something. But that, whatever you do, has to be according to the laws of Torah and has to be according to the will of God, so to speak.